Hello, everyone. Before I start this episode, I just wanted to let you know that we are going to be offering our next two-day couples workshop on Thursday and Friday, March 30th and 31st. Again, that's Thursday and Friday, March 30th and 31st. And if you're interested in the workshop, you can get more information at helpingcouplesheal.com or email support at helpingcouplesheal. We are actually going to be spending this episode coming up right now talking about the benefits and value of doing a couples intensive or a couples workshop. And for those of you who might be in an area of the world where you do not have access to local resources, this online workshop could be a good option for you. Again, if you're interested, email support at helpingcouplesheal.com, and I hope you enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Helping Couples Heal podcast, a place for healing and hope for couples impacted by betrayal resulting from infidelity and or sex addiction. Your host is Marnie Breaker, licensed marriage and family therapist, certified sex addiction therapist, and founder of the Center for Relational Healing in Los Angeles and San Diego, California. The Helping Couples Heal podcast was launched in 2021 with the intention of bringing hope to couples all over the world who are desperately trying to recover from the devastating impact of betrayal. Realizing how many people the podcast was reaching and that we could offer even more support to our listeners, Marnie co-founded Helping Couples Heal, which has since grown into a global online coaching organization. This podcast is the foundation of all the work that we do at Helping Couples Heal. Thank you for listening. Marnie brings over a decade of experience and expertise in the field of betrayal trauma and is honored to support you wherever you may be in your healing. If you've lost hope, you've come to the right place. Now, take a slow, deep breath, and let's begin with the Helping Couples Heal podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Helping Couples Heal podcast. This is Marnie, and I am really honored today to have Jacqueline Schwartz with me. Many of you who have been listening for a long time or who have had services at Helping Couples Heal or at the Center for Relational Healing might already be familiar with Jacqueline. This is the first time I'm interviewing her on the podcast, and yet she is the person I've been working with the longest out of probably every guest that I've had come on the podcast. Jacqueline and I met back in 2010 when she was an intern and I was running a sex and relationship group at a treatment center in Los Angeles. And she approached me about being really interested in sex addiction and had asked if she can sit in on my group every week. And that was how our long-term relationship started. She ended up doing a private practice internship with me and has never left, which is really amazing. So Jackie has been the person who's been doing the Helping Couples Heal workshop with me from probably in 2012 when I started doing them on my own at the Center for Relational Healing. I trained Jacqueline and then she started with me. So Jacqueline and I have been facilitating these workshops together for about a decade. And I wanted to have Jacqueline come on and have a conversation where we discuss what is the value of doing an intensive or a workshop and when can it be helpful and why would someone choose to do it? And when would it not be helpful? You know, we get a lot of people that call Helping Couples Heal consistently asking about our workshop and whether or not it would be the right thing for them. And our intake team, you know, have conversations regularly explaining who's a good candidate, who's not a good candidate. And I thought, well, why don't we just come on and talk about that? So welcome, Jackie. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you, Marnie. Thank you for having me. We have been working together for so long now, and you have done so much training with me. You know, I really learned this from you. And I think that the workshops are such a benefit. I've watched how they've also changed from the beginning, from 10 years that we've been doing them in person and now on Zoom and now in person again, and all of the additions and changes from all the new information that we've gotten and adding so much of the Dr. Omar and Wallace stuff lately to it. And so, yeah, thank you. I'm honored to be here and I'm glad that it can be helpful to listeners.
Yeah, it's been quite an evolution. I think before we actually even dive into our workshop, why don't we just talk about why we even have one. Meaning, where is there or where has there been a gap in our field when it comes to betrayal trauma that we felt like we need to do this workshop and to do it actually every couple months? This is not something that we do once a year. This is something that we've been doing regularly, you know, even during COVID, every 3 to 4 months. So why? Why do we do this?
Well, what first comes to mind is that the gap in couples getting treatment together as a couple is one of the big differences between this workshop and so much of the work that people do other than this. I know that you have the community, but even before the community that you have, where can people really go to actually get help together where they're getting the same information and they're getting that treatment starting in the beginning. I actually don't think starting in the way beginning is the right time to get the workshop, but starting early on, because otherwise, if they're doing their own treatment, kind of climbing up this mountain and doing their journey separately, the information that they're getting might even be different. You know, every therapist, every coach is going to be giving different information, a little bit different. They all have different training, and that can be really hard for couples. And plus, they don't get to see their partner hear the same thing that they're hearing.
Well, that reminds me of the reason why we changed the format of this workshop. When Dr. Manuela and I started it, the way that it was set up and structured is it was 3 days. So the first day, the partners came and were exposed to all of this information and content. And then they would go home. And the next day, the addicts would come in. And they would be exposed to basically the same information. But obviously, it could be delivered differently. You know, obviously, there was conversation that was had without the partners there to hear it. And then the third day, the couple would come in together. And the truth is, the workshop was very powerful and profound for many people. So it wasn't that it wasn't valuable. But once I started doing the workshop away from Dr. Manuela and not through the Institute for Sexual Health, it really became clear that we should do this only with the couples together. The separating of the couples was not something that I wanted to continue to do because that's what the field had done, right? That's what you were just saying, Jacqueline. Like, yeah. People would come in and they were getting their own treatment, but the couple was not in a setting together where they were exposed to the same information together and where they could respond and hear each other. And that could actually exacerbate the problems between the couple, make the trauma worse, and prevent the couple from healing together, or certainly prolong the healing.
Absolutely. When I work with individuals, if I'm the therapist for one of the partners and I'm sharing some of this information with them, and they're hearing this in their individual therapy or their individual treatment, whether it's a coach or a therapist sharing this with them, and they'll say, this is so important, but who's going to tell my partner? And so they're not getting the same information that could be so valuable for their healing. And I don't think, well, I know just from my experience that when their partner tells them the information, it does not have the same impact.
It does not have the same impact. I see that a lot. And I see a lot of frustration. And I've had many partners that I've worked with over the years express frustration or even anger in our sessions when I'm giving them information. They're like, well, what do you want me to do with it? But you just said, who's going to tell my husband?
Yeah.
Right? Or who's going to tell my wife? Who is going to say all this? And I get frustrated too. And I say, it's a good question. I don't know. I am happy. I'm always happy to collaborate and talk to my client's partner's therapist. But it's frustrating, I think, for many people to have there be sort of this break between all of the communication. So I wanted to talk about another aspect of this workshop, and it's not just our workshop, though. It is a couple's experience. I mean, there's lots of different types of couple's experiences that are out there. There's lots of resources today for couples, thank goodness, because there were so few when I got into this field that I am so grateful all the time when I see new programs and services pop up. So I think that one of the benefits of doing some kind of couples program together is that it can really help each partner build compassion for the other. Because when you have other people, other couples there, and you're able to, so for a betrayed partner here, other betrayers talking about their experiences, it can really help to humanize them. You know, I feel like when you and I do workshops together at the end, almost always there's so much gratitude that's being expressed by the participants. The men often saying to the women, it's helped me so much understand my partner's experience in a way that I couldn't before. Right? Or whether my shame was too much, or I just felt like they were overreacting, or I didn't hear it explained like this, or whatever it is. And they're so grateful. And then the partners saying, I've been so furious and angry, and being able to hear from some of these other people in here who have caused the betrayal has really allowed me to feel more compassion and therefore more compassion for my own partner. So I think that's certainly a dynamic that you can't get when you are just doing individual work.
I think that's such a benefit of the workshop. And I also hear that at the end so often. You know, during the workshop, you even utilize so many quotes from other people and just being, whether that person's actually in that same workshop or the quote that maybe we're reading, and it's just not coming from their partner's mouth, but it's coming from maybe our mouth or another person there, but just past experiences, it really humanizes the experience of who their partner is for them. There's so much trauma that it's hard to hear it from your partner.
It's really hard. I mean, it's hard to even hear it from the other participants. And I think it's hard to hear it from us. But even just the group culture, though, having that level of support, I think makes it more tolerable to hear this stuff. And also, again, that humanizing piece, like you're not alone. There's other people and there's other good people. What I see in these workshops is that people like each other. Generally speaking, there's bonding and connection that happens amongst the group. And just being there presents an opportunity for people to be vulnerable because they feel supported and they feel heard. And we see that. We see after hard shares during the workshop when we might take a break, the interactions between other people in the workshop going over to other people who might have had a hard time or who are sharing vulnerably or were very emotional. And they're going over to check in with them and to talk. And I've seen hugs and other just efforts to be comforting.
It is. It's amazing. And I think it's hard when it is your partner that's sharing with you. But what I see is that there's so many similar experiences and they get to see that with each other that it makes it so obvious when they're in that workshop together that what we're talking about isn't just because your partner is overreactive or your partner is a sociopath. The people who are there who did the betraying and also the people who are betrayed have such similar symptoms and they see that with each other. And it really brings home that what we're talking about is trauma and it can be treated. And that all of these reactions and feelings really make sense because you see it as a group. It's showing up with almost every single person that we see there, and they get to see it with each other too. And I think it helps them understand what they're experiencing on a deeper level, seeing it in someone else.
Oh, I think 100%. I've heard this quote before. I don't know who said it, but it's, we heal through the eyes of others. Literally, that quote's one of the main reasons that we started the Helping Couples Heal Couples community, because we realized that healing from all of this betrayal and trauma, it's not for the faint of heart. It's really hard. It's hard just by virtue of it being betrayal and so much attachment trauma and all of that. And it's hard to do it by yourself. So if it's going to be hard, at least let's find some components or some ways to make it tolerable where there's as much support as possible. And the best way to do that is in community. Again, right? We heal through the eyes of others, other people supporting us, other people seeing us, mirroring us, validating us, just listening, holding space is, I think, more valuable than even the content that we teach at the workshop.
Yeah, I agree that the content is also very important.
So the other piece that we didn't talk about yet, I think is really important, is what are we teaching at the workshop and why?
I think that the information that you get, maybe you can get couples therapy or individual therapy, but it would take you maybe a year, maybe a year and a half, I think, to really understand what we present in the workshop. It really dives into what the partner's brain has experienced because of betrayal and what betrayal is. So in terms of compulsive deceptive sexuality, as well as integrity abuse. And so that's usually what people come in for. And so when we're talking about betrayal and seeing it through that lens and then seeing the trauma that the deceptive sexuality has caused and universally what has happened to the brain of the partner and the reason why they have the reactions they have and therefore what is needed to treat that trauma in the relationship and individually. So that's really what the workshop focuses on.
Yeah. And I think that when the person who has betrayed their partner does not understand practically what that trauma does to their partner, then they cannot possibly validate the experience of their partner. They cannot provide the empathy that is so needed. They can't provide the humility, the transparency, the presence that the partner needs. And oftentimes what I see, and I can speak for both of us because you and I talk so much after each workshop, and we both see this, is that the person who caused the betrayal really gets to stand in the reality when they're hearing what damage has been done. Because often what they'll report is that their partner has told them, but probably because their own shame or just feeling so horrible and that they can't even tolerate that they could have hurt their partner so much. And also outside of the workshop environment, when their partner back at home is saying things to them like, this is what you did, you hurt me in this way, and you did that, and all of these things, the person that did the betrayal can rationalize that or can, you know, make it so that their partner is, in your words from before, overreacting, or that they're responding to past trauma, right? That it's not the trauma from the betrayal. And they can come up with all sorts of different cognitive distortions around that. But when they come into a group setting and they're hearing other partners saying, not even necessarily in different words, sometimes even the same words, what their partner has said to them, it becomes very real. I think this is one of the greatest values from it. Suddenly they are having the same reality, right? Because often what happens is until the betrayer does realize and recognize, understand the damage and trauma that they cause their partner from infidelity and betrayal, both of them are living in very distinct realities. The partner is living in a state of trauma and devastation and shock and feeling like their world has been completely shattered. And they don't know how they can ever trust again. And they don't know how they could ever feel safe again. And then the other person who's caused it oftentimes has such a different reality, doesn't look at it that way. And when you deliver the information to them and they can, again, hear from others what their own partner has been saying, suddenly I think it allows them to have a shared experience with their partner finally. And it's only from having the shared experience then they can move forward and then focus on healing from it. How do you heal something if you don't know what you're healing from?
Absolutely. And the amount that we see in acceptance, I think, in the workshop of these people really understanding it after seeing it in this way and seeing the other people and hearing the other quotes and hearing it together, there is so much acceptance and taking of responsibility that we see by the end of it, which I would like to also say is one of the reasons why doing this really early on, if you're able to, in the recovery process, because there can be so much damage by having the incorrect treatment or therapy or not getting the same information or not understanding your partner's reactions as, you know, safety-seeking behaviors because of trauma and seeing them as controlling or trying to separate, you know, staying on your side of the street, which we also talk about in the workshop, why this can be so harmful when you're looking at betrayal trauma specifically. Doing this early on allows you to get that information where you don't go down that path and cause that extra trauma.
And spend years in treatment that is not helping, that is not allowing you to come together as a couple. I mean, just in this last workshop that we did, Jackie, I remember there were, and it's usually like this, there's often a bunch of couples that have been at it for a long time, and then some couples that are newer. And inevitably, the couples that have been at it a long time will share how glad for these newer couples that they are for them because they're getting the information so early. And then they express a lot of grief over the fact that they have been doing this for such a long time and that often this is the first time that they're really hearing this information. And I actually remember the very first workshop I ever did with Dr. Manwala back in, I think, 2010 or 2012. And I remember one of the men was so angry during the workshop. And I was assuming he was really angry because of what we were saying, that he didn't want to hear that he had caused his partner all of this trauma and pain and grief. But what I found out later, when there was a break and he approached me, was that he was really angry because he had actually been in a program of recovery and on this journey for about a year at that time, just approaching a year. It was just under. And he was in a group and he was really working a 12-step program very, very strongly, and had a sponsor and the whole thing. And he was furious that he had not heard this ever before, that he was hearing it for the first time, even though for almost a year his life was revolving around recovery. And at the time, I can't really say that I understood it that well because it was the first time we ever did that workshop. But now sitting here with you, talking to you after a decade of doing this workshop together, I can say that makes perfect sense because I think that's what most people often feel when they end up at our workshop after years of trying to heal, but through a very different model.
Yeah.
What I say is that we're working from a very relational model. And I think particularly earlier on, although I think a lot of clients say that it's still happening out there, I just see it less, is that there are practitioners who work from a non-relational model. And I don't know how that can ever work when you're talking about healing a relationship.
I agree. I've talked to other therapists, and I think that there are some opinions out there where working from this model or sharing the information that we've seen to be true with these clients, I've heard it said that maybe it's not right to share this because it brings up shame, or by calling it abuse, we are actually maybe causing more harm than good. But I know that this is not the case, because now doing this with you for a decade, what I see is that when we can name it, first of all, it resonates. It resonates with the betrayer and it resonates with the partner. When we share the information that we have about the trauma that it's caused and the way that these actions are abusive and what it is to have integrity abuse and deceptive sexuality and secret basements. And so they relate to it and they understand it to be true. And they actually say thank you, because only after naming it and understanding what's going on can you actually heal it. And that's the reason that I do it. And I know that's the reason that you do it, is because we believe that there is a path towards healing. It's not about shaming or trying to make something worse than it is. It is what it is.
Right. We are basically shining the light on the truth, which can be very painful, because I don't know of any kind of abuse that is positive and elicits happy thoughts. It's a really tough, painful topic. And yet, like you said, Jackie, the clients resonate with it. The partners are the ones, I think, who have no problem recognizing, oh my God, yeah, they hear that word abuse and they say, yes, that's what I've experienced. I think it is a little bit harder for the one who's caused it, because they're the one who has been abusive, right? But once it is presented in a way that is loving and compassionate and kind and honest, and then with the help of a supportive group of other people in a community setting, I think people are able to get honest and say, yes, this is me. I'm so ashamed of it. I can't believe that's me. Because here's the thing, 99.9999% of the time when I'm working with clients, there is not a case where the person is a bad, evil person. That hasn't been the clients that I've worked with. They are people that have done bad things. Yes, for sure. But what I generally see is that these people are engaging in behavior when it comes to sexuality and relationships that is incongruent with their own values and beliefs. They are not this evil person trying to perpetuate abuse and pain. And while that's true, another truth is that regardless of what their intention is, that is what they've done. So it's really important for both of those things to be held as true.
Yeah. And I don't want to leave out the portion of the workshop where we also do talk about how to start that healing process in terms of creating the safety. As a therapist working with betrayal, one of the very simplest things that you learn, I think, or at least that I've learned, is that when you're healing from betrayal as a couple, the first thing that you have to really concentrate on is safety, and then trust, and then intimacy. And we do in the workshop start to talk about how to regain that safety and then that trust. And then we even start on the intimacy. Safety would be how to help co-regulate when there are triggers that come up, and then the trust and how to gain back trust, and then how to start to share vulnerably again. All the couples that come to us might be in different places, and that's okay. I think as long as they're at least usually past disclosure. I think that some people come to the workshop not having done disclosure yet, and we talk a lot about disclosure. That is a piece of the healing that we talk about. So if you haven't done that yet and you're going to do the workshop, sometimes I think it's better to have done that. But I think that waiting for the workshop, or if another workshop's not coming up for a long time, it might even be better to do it even if you haven't started that.
Well, I think sometimes that for couples that have come to the workshop and they hadn't yet done disclosure, it's been helpful in helping the betrayer recognize the importance of doing it. Like, I've seen a lot of people come to the workshop and then afterwards contact us and say, we want to go through disclosure. Can you help us?
Yes.
I think for a lot of people that are new to this process, the thought of disclosure is terrifying and also can take some understanding about how is it going to be helpful and not harmful. If my partner already is devastated based on the information that they already have, and there's more that they don't have, how in the world is it going to be helpful for them to hear more? So I do think that at a workshop, there's a lot of education around the importance of disclosing the truth, the importance of holding no secrets anymore. getting it out, also creating sort of a sense of equality in the relationship. Because when there's acting out going on or there's secrets, then the secret keeper is in a one-up position. And the person who doesn't have these secrets and is in the dark is in a one-down position. And you can't really have a healthy relationship with those kind of power differentials going on. So we do address disclosure in the workshop, but that's not the focal point. I also want to say that people don't come into the workshop and then we immediately start talking about healing. In fact, it's the opposite. And I think that can be particularly difficult for people because you sit down and for about a day, you're going to be listening to a lot of information about the impact of betrayal on a partner and trauma. I'll tell you, I've been doing this for a long time and it is still hard for me emotionally to deliver this information. It really is because it's painful information. It's painful. I do it because I know that the value that comes from people hearing it and then learning how to heal from it is so important and profound. So that's what gets me to do it, but it's hard. So you have to be willing to come in and sit through a full day of listening to the damage and the trauma. And it's only then that we turn our focus to how do you heal? Because our whole philosophy is if you don't know what you're healing from, then how do you know how to heal? Right? We can give you a whole bunch of tools about, for instance, you mentioned co-regulation, but without having a context and an understanding of when you would want to co-regulate and how to do it, it doesn't make sense to teach it. So, you know, you're getting both things. You're getting, this is what you need to heal from, and then this is how you heal.
Yeah. And how to create that safety.
Yeah. Because again, without a partner has to feel safe even to be willing to do work with you on continuing to build safety. There has to be some foundation of safety. And by the way, doing disclosure is a form of safety building. Just being willing to do the disclosure, being willing to go through this really difficult, painful process, which could actually create more upset for a period of time. Things could get worse before they get better sometimes. Disclosure can do that. Ultimately, the long-term benefit, I think, is well worth it, which is why professionals in this field are such advocates for the disclosure process.
Yes. And I would like to say for anyone listening that has not heard of a therapeutic disclosure, we are not advocating to just go and share everything right now with your partner tonight. I think that as Marnie was saying, it's important to not have secrets and get that all out. That's part of safety. It's also really important not to do it where you're giving drips and drabs, where you give as much as you can think of right now in this moment, but tomorrow you're going to remember something else to then say it because it really creates so much extra trauma if the partner has to then re-understand the story or what happened over and over and over.
And also, if the partner is told today, this is everything, because that's what you remember, and you really do believe today that that's it, but then tomorrow you wake up and you remember more, and then you go and tell your partner more, how is your partner going to be able to believe that now they know everything? To them, it could be, well, you might wake up tomorrow and know something else. So there's this constant waiting for more information to come. So doing it the therapeutic way, which is to go through a formal process with professionals that can guide you through it, really is the best way to do it. If you have not heard about disclosure, there are books about disclosure that you can read. We did a podcast earlier on about disclosure, and you can look that up. But there's lots of information out there about disclosure. But to wrap up this particular episode, I'm hoping that what you're able to take away is that there is a lot of information that we believe is important for you to have in order to sort of dive deep and try to heal a relationship that's been traumatized from betrayal. And one of those big things is to truly understand from a very visceral place what the specific damage or trauma is that's been caused by betrayal. And if you're not willing to hear that, I feel comfortable saying that likely the relationship is not going to heal in a way that you want it to heal. This is to the betrayer. You need to be able to tolerate hearing all of the awful, awful stuff that has happened as a result of your betrayal. You have to. There's no way around that. You must be willing to sit in the pain because here's the thing. Your partner has been sitting in the pain. They didn't ask for it. They had no choice. Right? They found out, most likely they discovered it without being told sometimes, but way less common. It has been told to them. But typically they discover this and now they are sitting in a ton of pain and they can't get out of it. So when you close your eyes or push away the reality of the trauma that's been caused, you're leaving them now to sit with all this pain and you're not in it with them. You need to be willing to be in it with them if you want to help them heal and if you want to heal your relationship.
And it's the only way to be in reality with your partner and to have authentic conversations and to try to create something different. In the 12-step program, they have a saying, those that who cannot recover, those who cannot be constitutionally honest with themselves. And what we offer is some of that, I think, honesty that people are able to connect with and see this is really what's the problem. This is really the damage that's caused. And this is what we need to start to heal from.
Yeah, I want to say one last thing that I think is really important, Jackie. You had mentioned earlier that piece about shame, that people have a hard time listening to this because it makes them feel shameful. And that's why some professionals out there will say, no, they shouldn't be told all of this stuff, or the word abuse shouldn't be used because it's going to make them feel bad or it's going to make them feel more shame. Every bit of research that I've done about shame, and I've done a lot of research, particularly over this last year, and I study Brené Brown's research, everything that she talks about, literally every single thing, comes down to the fact that in order to heal from shame and to build shame resilience, you have to be able to be vulnerable and authentic, and you have to be able to reach out to others and seek support. That when you are not called to be honest and vulnerable and authentic, that's when you're going to be living with tons of shame, as opposed to the very thing we're talking about, which is, no, let's call it out. Let's call it what it is, and then let's have honest conversations around it. It might seem contraindicated, but it's not. It's going to actually build resilience, not create more shame. So I think that that's a really good place to end. And for anybody who is interested in doing our workshop, as Jackie said, we're now doing them in person again. So you have the option of doing online or in person, and you can visit the website, helpingcouplesheal.com, to see all of the upcoming dates. Jackie, thank you so much for being here with me. I am always so honored that you have chosen to be with me for so long and to walk this path with me and with all of our clients, and now being here to support our listeners too.
Thank you, Marnie. Thank you for this opportunity.
Take care, everyone. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Helping Couples Heal podcast, where your healing is our number one priority. If you'd like additional resources about betrayal trauma or to learn more about our coaching services, please visit helpingcouplesheal.com or call 562-379-4325. Our help is available worldwide. Please support Helping Couples Heal in continuing to reach others impacted by betrayal trauma by leaving a review on iTunes and sharing this podcast with someone you care about. For additional support, follow us on Instagram and consider joining our Helping Couples Heal private Facebook community. This isn't an easy journey, but you don't have to do it alone. Once again, thank you for listening.